Blessed be your name, eternal Father. Lord, we thank you. We will continue to ask you concerning our nation. This nation needs your counsel, Lord. We need your spirit. And we continue, Lord, in this spirit. Put your spirit upon us to remember to pray for this nation at all times, till we enter into the realm of light. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Because even countries that went through less than this, they were dismantled. But we continue to prosper by your grace. Blessed be your name, eternal Father. We do not take it for granted. We recognize your hand at work. You are our sustenance as a nation. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your name, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe that, can you say an amen?
Amen.
A confident one, please.
Amen.
All right, let's start again. The Lord is good.
All the time.
I said, if you believe, you give me an amen.
Amen.
All right, you are welcome once again to today's School of Prayer. Even if you are coming from Kano, you are welcome. All right, so before we continue to pray, we are going to study the word a bit. And then before we do that, we'll take our declaration as usual. Are you ready for that? All right, quickly, let's do it. Now I declare.
Now I declare
that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I'm pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, hallelujah. The Lord is good. Let's take our seats. That we'll continue to look at keeping our salt pure. Let me just read a particular scripture today. We'll read two of them to start. Then after we read these two portions, we'll now start teaching. Colossians chapter 4. Let me just read this. It says, let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. And I will add this to each situation. Is that okay? You will know how to respond to each thing that is happening around. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt. All right, that's very important. That's Colossians chapter 4, and that is verse 6. That is what I just read from the New American Standard. Now, we're going to the book of James chapter 3. I'll read that, and then we will continue teaching about keeping the salt pure. I'm going to start from chapter 1, actually. Let me start from chapter 1. It says from verse 26, if anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Please notice that. If you think you're a Christian and you can't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself. New Living Translation says, and your religion is worthless. The tongue needs what? Answer me. It needs what? Control. It needs control. All right, quickly. So go to James chapter 3 now. Let's see what James says further about the tongue and control. He said from verse 2, of course, he was talking about not all of us should be eager to be teachers, because you will incur a stricter judgment. That's what he said. Or greater condemnation. He now continues in verse 2, for we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put bits into the horse's mouth so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. That is, you've seen it in, for those of us who know how to ride horses, and some of you ride horses here, now that's a joke, I don't think there's anybody here that does that, but you see them on TV, alright? And then, that rope they have in their hands is in the mouth of the horse. So they use it to direct the horse whichever direction they want it to go. So it says, you control the mouth of the horse, you control the whole body.
He said, look at the ships also, or the big trucks, lorries. Now, they didn't have it that they had ships. So, but it's the same principle. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds or powerful diesel engines, they are still directed by a very small rudder or steering, whatever the inclination of the pilot or driver desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, yet it boasts of great things. That is, it can make boast confidently of great things that it has done or does. All right? It's a tiny spark, that's what it does. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. The tongue may look small, but it can burn up a whole forest. If you consider it, if you liken it to a fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. So for every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. Please, let's go back there, verse 7. Every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea, dolphins, porpoises, all those things, is tamed and have been tamed by the human race. I saw one movie a video the other day. A man wanted to show that, so some lions were moving, lions, you know, big, ferocious lions. They were walking in the, it must be a game reserve of some sort. Then suddenly they turned back and they ran back. So what did they see? And I showed them two men coming. The lions saw them and ran. That those lions are afraid of those two fellows. They've been tamed. And that one showed a big lion controlled by one shoe. No shoe. Shoe. The one you wear on your foot. One. In fact, one slipper. Is it slippers or slippers now? If it's one. Let's just use shoe. Or sandal. Yeah. So that, yeah. Actually, it was a sandal. So, you see a lion. The guy just carries the sandal. He will raise it. No, before he can walk, he didn't run. Just raise up the sandal like this. You see the lion just go to one corner and sit down there. Like, guy, sorry, sir. And I explained that particular sandal, they've used it to beat those lions and lionesses. They were small. So when they were small, they misbehaved. They whacked them on the head with it. So that same sandal, they keep it till they are old. Once they see it, they say the Lord has come. That's what James was saying. The witch animal. We've tamed it. But he now said verse 8. But no one can tame the tongue. Cesar Millan is one guy I used to watch on TV. The dog whisperer. The Bible says he can't whisper the tongue. He can't tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men. Men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Now, you can't tame the tongue. James said it ought not to be that way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. Let me stop reading here. That is, your tongue shouldn't bring forth both things. Is that okay? It should bring forth only one thing, blessings. The word of God should be seasoned. We've been talking about keeping the salt pure. That's why I want to add this one to it. The tongue must be seasoned with what? Salt. Jesus said, now let's start now. This is just our Bible reading. He said, you are the salt of the earth. We need to say it again. What does it mean to be the salt of the earth? It means you are the reason the earth is preserved. That's the meaning of salt. You are the reason the earth is preserved. You are the light of the world, means you give direction to everybody else. That's why they didn't say you are the light of the earth. He said you are the light of what? The world. He didn't say you are the salt of the world. Did you notice that? It's very different. You are not the salt of the world. You are the salt of what? The earth. That tells you something. It's discussing judgment. It is discussing the wrath of God. You're not the salt of the world. The world must be judged. You can't prevent that. The world will be judged.
But the earth is affected by those who live on it. So you are the light of the world. People will see you and follow you to the Lord. They will see you and learn the ways of God. They will see you and know the truth of the kingdom. But how you live decide whether the earth will be preserved or not. It decides whether the earth will be judged or it will not be judged. How you and I live decide whether the earth will be blessed or it will not be blessed. The word Jesus was saying, the whole world lies under the power of the evil one. They are condemned already. So the reason why the earth is not blessed is not because of them. The reason why the earth is blessed is not because of them. Because if I want to bless your earth, and when I say your earth now, this earth is big, so God cut it into pieces. So my intercession for Nigeria is more powerful than my intercession for Africa, even though it's effective. It's far more powerful than my intercession for Ghana, because I don't have any personal friends there. I don't go to Ghana. I've been there how many times? Maybe once. All right? And God has not placed a special body. Now, please, this is nothing against Ghana. Please get my point. All right? This is not a jollof rice fight. Are you getting my point? The Lord has just not placed a special burden on my heart. Do you follow? There are people that He has placed that special burden. Okay? I'm going to say something here. Because I live in Nigeria, it's my earth. That's what I mean. So my salt effect is crucial here. Your salt effect is effective here, where you live. Let me say this again. God gave us, this is not criticism of anybody. The assignment God gave us is not to locate the good part of this earth and collect it. It's to understand where He has placed you and you redeem that portion. Are you getting my point? Understand where He kept you. Understand where your assignment is. Assignment or location is not decided by how fertile the ground is. It's decided by where God leads you to. Whether you see it or not, where He has led you to is a good land. Good lands don't always appear good at the beginning. When Abraham moved, all right, God didn't tell him, I am giving you, taking you to a good land, the way He told the people of Israel. He told him, I will take you to a land that you will inherit. And then I will bless you. Let me say something to you about this earth. This earth is alive. I don't know whether you get my point. When I say alive now, it's fluid, it moves. If you study geography and geology, they'll tell you about rock. You know, this rock we are on, it may look to you solid rock. The thing they float around. Do you know that the continents shift at the same rate as your fingernails grow? Yes, it moves. It moves. They slide. The tectonic plates, they move. When I were young, I don't know what they teach now. You talk about the Gondwana land. Oh no, that is when Africa was joined to Asia. And they have reasons to say it. They have evidence. We're not discussing that now. I just want you to know this earth actually moves. There are mountains here today. They were not here 1,000 years ago. There are mountains that were in certain places. You see, the Bible says, what ails you mountains that you skip like rams? They used to move. Mountains moved for the people of Israel. Tremble down, O earth, before the Lord. When the Lord is coming, He can say, okay, where's this mountain? Kilimanjaro is here. Okay, move it from where it is. I want it in West Africa as an example. And if you study, all the earth needs to do is just fold a bit. It's like a ripple. The earth crust just ripples. Just ripple. You know the way this can just ripple. You know, it folds now, then folds there, flatten here, fold. That's all mountains are. They just fold. The earth crust will fold. God levels the valley, the mountains, all right? And then elevates the valleys. He does it all the time. Certain places that used to be thriving, rich, green land, they are now deserts. Because God spoke. God will talk about, is it Tyre at that time? Beautiful coastal city. See, to become a place where fishermen dry their nets. Yeah, He meant it. You look at the beautiful city, He said, I'm going to turn this place to a jungle. You will find all kinds of animals there. He said, look to the book of the Lord and read. None of this will be missing. Not that will anyone lack his meat. That is, both male and female will be there. Why? He said, the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Therefore, His spirit has gone out to gather. God rearranges this earth. And that is, yes, you hear there's crude oil. They say it formed over millions of years because they leave that thing. If I want to bring crude oil to a place next year, it's not hard. I will blow. It's not discovery. You will just go there and discover. This earth is not one rigid place that nothing changes. It is not one rigid place where nothing changes. What was good, a land that was good today, tomorrow can become dry. Now let me, you know, you hear me talk about climate, climate change, climate no change, climate, you know me and climate change talk people, we are on two different ends of the earth. I'm on the right side, they're on the wrong side, you know now. You know why I say what I say? Because we know, it's clear. I don't want to give you reasons why some things, why I believe some things, but from the scriptures, seasons change. Cold. God can say this place be cold for now. Then one day it will become hot. Why? He said so. It will become hot. Do you know? This one is fact. This is not me just talking. It's fact. Tropical fruits have been dug up in Europe. Archaeological diggings. They find what? Tropical fruits that they used to grow long ago in what is today's Europe. What is that called? Temperate climate. When Eric the Red got to Greenland, there's a reason he called it Greenland. You know why? The land was green. Now, it is white land, covered with snow and ice almost year-round. People have now started revising history that he lied, that he called it Greenland only to persuade people to move over there. It's not true. It was green to him. But forget the noise they're trying to make. Now, evidence, you see, they see, tropical fruits, the seeds, dug up, archaeological diggings. In what does that tell you? Those places used to be warm, but now they're cold. I'm going to emphasize to you that this air that you're in, that you're on, it changes. Don't assume they're just like this. If God blows upon it, it changes its pattern. It blows another way, another pattern comes up. And what makes him do that? That's what I'm talking about. The primary reason is the people who live on the earth. He can turn your fertile land to desert. 2-3 generations, nothing grows there again. When people don't understand, which is why I talk the way I do, they want to give the glory to man. When I was small, Lake Chad was a big lake. Now, Lake Chad has lost at least 75% of the water volume. More than that. When I was a little boy, we used to draw it. You draw and draw, and then you now specially draw Lake Chad, taking that whole horn of the country. But now, give them another few decades, it will be dry. And the time will come, if God allows to continue like that, to be totally dry. Sometimes we are driving, tall Reverend and I said, look at all the hills in Anambra. And they're not rock, they are sand. I said, what's going on? He said, oh, obviously it was a floodplain. You see what I said? So this, he said it was a floodplain. That this is what movement of water does. This earth, it will move. Depends on what God is saying to it. When you're reading your Bible, it's literal. When he says that I will bring water in a dry land, he means it. You hear the saints that this was this place, the spring came forth. Now one of them, I read in Samson the other day, and it is there till now. When they were documenting that, there was no spring until Samson got there. Now the spring has been flowing for a long time. Moses strike a rock. You come years later, you drink water from that rock. There was no water there before, but it's still flowing. There are places where there were rivers. God said, you know what they call dinosaurs? You know it's in the Bible. Yeah, Leviathan. Now they call it dinosaurs. And why did they die? An asteroid came out of space and no. God said, I cursed it. I killed off Leviathan. Things that Job saw. Please, I'm letting you understand. So this day, don't look at it. There's nothing here that is permanent. Nothing. It's there today. The day God speaks in one direction, that thing moves away. Where there was no river, will start. Like we say. 2 generations later, do you think that river has been there for 5,000 years? No. This river started just a few years ago. Why? God spoke to it. Under the earth, we know. I hope you know there are rivers under this earth here. They are underground rivers. They flow different directions. So when God said, you are the salt of the earth, he said, listen, I can decide to make river flow in your direction. You know, in Enugu, they say there's no, if you drink borehole here, you won't get water. It is true for now. One day God will just say, oh yeah, find water everywhere. They will start doing studies and writing books. Do you follow my point? Let's emphasize salt. God said, why do I do these things? I look at the people that are on the earth. And based upon their behavior, based upon their righteousness, their repentance, or their wickedness, their stubbornness, I speak to the earth. So he says, the one you are on, you are the salt of that one. It doesn't mean you are the one that will physically till it and bring out good from it. That's another story. It means whether I will speak water into the dry land or dry up the place that was fertile. It depends on what I'm seeing in you. I hope you're getting my point. It depends. As you're stepping around, you're affecting the earth upon which you are walking. You are? Let me just stop that teaching there. All right, so what we'll be looking at is making sure we keep our salt pure so that God, the place he has sent us to, claim. Hey, let me say that again. God gives us a duty to claim. There's no portion on this earth that he doesn't have a special purpose for. There's none. His purpose is not executed or effected until his people go and do what they are supposed to do. And if they don't, listen, God will look at a particular place, say everybody there, they are too wicked. Not only did he destroy the people in Sodom and Gomorrah, he rendered the land they were on useless. Yeah, he did that. I've read many, accounts of people, archaeologists and all of that. People have tried to locate Sodom and Gomorrah. They found where they believe those cities were. Until today, they remain one of the most barren patches of earth till date. Sulfur content so high, plants don't grow. People live in a particular way. The earth on which they walk is cursed. I don't believe Sahara Desert was a desert. It's judgment. Dried up the whole place and it's moving down. And let me say another thing. Now, I was saying something about people who talk global, why I disagree with them. The truth is this. They want to give the glory to the effort of man. You want to hear the truth? If you like, drive all the electric cars in this world, this globe will not stop warming. You know why? It's not your car that's making it warm. It's the decree of the Almighty. Like I say all the time, they said there was an ice age. Who warmed it? And I told you, in the 70s, the argument was, are we heading for another ice age? The funny part is that all the arguments they gave then for why the globe was cooling is the very ones, you don't get my point, the exact ones they are giving now for why it's warm. What I've said, you can go and check it out. I'm not telling you something that was only revealed to those of us who are in the inner circle. No. It's out there online now. You see the headlines. Let's not compile the number of them. I saw a compilation. The same arguments being given now for why the globe is getting warm. Those arguments were given for why it was getting cold. They say it's industrialization, the burning of fossil fuel, the burning of coal, the release of fumes from industries into the sky that is shutting out the sun. So the sun is not reaching the earth. So the earth is getting cold. Then one day, the earth are getting warm. They say it's because you are burning fossil fuels. No difference. Man is trying to take the glory. But once you know the truth, the glory belongs to who? To God. Because when he said, be warm, it began to warm up. If he says, cool down, it begins to cool down. That is a matter of fact. But again, please, let me try and stick with my message. Why will he say it? He said, you are the salt of the earth. I like one thing Tor Reverend was, something he said, even when I fell for it, I told you before, I fell for that thing. As a Christian, be very careful when you're talking. And we're talking about, that's what we're talking about today. And then we read the reference, all right? James, tongue, all right? Keeping the tongue. You know, I fell for it too. So there was something he said when I was praying. He said, people used to say, if government does this, will happen. He said, now they have done everything. What have they not done? Even me, I used to have this idea that if they do this and this will happen. And you know what? They've done many of those things that I've said. You know what happened? The opposite. A friend of mine said he was supposed to send some money to Nigeria for some things that they were doing, scholarship program. A lot of money was with him, say some thousands of dollars. So he called me and said, "Banky, please tell this man to quickly send me the account number. Let me wire the money now when you guys will get a lot of naira for the dollar." Why? The president said he had removed subsidy. And everybody worldwide assumed that the naira will strengthen against the dollar. So he said, "Okay, let me quickly send the money when we'll get more naira." If you had known, you would have slowed down sending the money. Do you know why? Nothing like that happened. Since that time, naira has lost almost 50% of its value, if not more, compared to the dollar. Everybody was shocked. You may not know, for those of you who like to criticize government and abuse them, IMF, World Bank, international economists, I've not heard one, listen, I'm not exaggerating, not one, who offered a word of criticism against anything this current government is doing. And then they have to speak, they say these are the right policies, we are headed the wrong direction, and the average man looking like, "Are you guys okay?" The average man is wondering, like, what did you just say? We are heading in the wrong, in the right direction. That's, no, please ask those who know. You don't have to ask, just go online and read. They all praise the current government's economic policies. Except people can't understand, why will you praise economic policy that's making rice need subsidy? This is the first time I hear rice subsidy in Nigeria. In fact, people are like, just put the subsidy back on fuel. Even me, I looked and said, "Hi." All the things they said do, none is working. At least, humanly speaking, I mean, to our own perception. The president is currently in China, and I heard him say something. I said, "Oh, God, now, wow." He said, "Please, we have to make tough." I said, "You want to make the one you have made? 12 decisions." I said, "This is tough." Oh. Yeah, seriously. So when you were saying that, they were laughing. All those who said, "Government is..." Now, please, those who like to tell government what to do, I don't like listening to them. Because you've not run government before. You've not run human beings. Like somebody said, "You want to know how difficult it is for a country to be governed? Start a WhatsApp group and tell people not to post nonsense." Start a WhatsApp group. Just 100 people. Tell them what to post. You will fight. My neighborhood, where the whole layout, they started one WhatsApp group for security and infrastructural, you know, reasons, and put everybody inside. The admins are, see, if you see 10 messages, 7 are deleted messages. They're always deleting things posted by people. I suppose they delete. I say, "And you want to run this gun?" It's not easy. Where are we going? So like he was saying, when we were praying earlier, he said, "Look, now that everybody is tired, you know, no one scripture has been fulfilled. I have sworn by myself. The word has gone forth him from my mouth in righteousness. That to me, every knee will bow. Every tongue will swear allegiance. They will say of me, only in the Lord are righteousness and strength." When you say this, many people won't believe it. Do you know if you pray to God and say, "Lord, give us fuel"? You know he'll do that. You wake up next morning, price of fuel is down by 20%. You watch it come down. Over the next 2 months, 3 months, it will go down by 50%. And you'll be wondering. Then those who don't understand, we turn and say, "It's the right policies." God said, "No, these policies were there. The policies were there." Go and read your Bible. There's what is called breaking the staff of bread. There's what is giving somebody a bread of affliction. Yeah, God does it. Just give them bread of affliction. They'll eat food. It don't be enough. One day, one of my classmates said she wanted to eat lunch. And sent us a picture. I want to make you laugh. I saw one rolled leaf, two large leaves. They obviously boiled it with one egg on top of it, a cup of tea beside it. They say it's turmeric tea. He said, "Come and eat, say now lunch. Lunch in progress." I said to my sister, "This is what the prophets call the bread of affliction." She's in the UK. How that guy answered from America? He said, "Hey, I did not fight my way to the top of the food chain to be eating vegetables, to be eating grass." He said, No. "I know how hard I fought to get here. I'm eating meat. You're not sending me back to the bottom of the food chain. I become a herbivore because of what?" I told her, I said, my sister, this is what they call bread of affliction. I said, I'm not joining. Lunch, the only thing that makes sense is one egg. The rest are one large folded lettuce or you know something like that. I don't, maybe it doesn't look like a... Okay, it's not a tropical vegetable. I said, this is what they call bread of what? Affliction. You eat and you'll not be full. Is that not in your Bible? This is our gifts of God, please. That thing, when Reverend Yinka was saying it earlier, I said, my God, this is the truth of God. That's why when they give you food, eh? Say, thank you, Jesus. When you get a glass of water, say, thank you, Lord. Just one slice of bread, give the Lord thanks. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift. We're sitting down here. Nobody was chased in here. You're not afraid to go out. It's raining outside right now, yeah. But you're still comfortable, you know, you go out and all of that. It's a gift. Right now in Sudan. Yesterday they said they bombed one place, 27, I think, civilians died. They don't tell you how many soldiers died, really. I don't mean soldiers are supposed to die, but like, if soldiers die, it's not headline news. All right? So when I saw 27, I knew they were civilians. This is Sudan. People have forgotten that they're fighting there. They are occupied with the one in Gaza. And the one, well, remember halfway, we remember the one in Ukraine. So what I'm going to say, you're sitting now at peace. It's a gift. Don't take it for granted. It's a gift. You park your car, you leave it there for 2, 3, 4 hours. You get there, you meet it there, it starts and you drive off. It's a gift. It's not a game of chance. It's a gift. Let me tell you why God takes things away from people. Start complaining. There's something I do in my house a lot. I still did it, yesterday, praying in the morning. I told everybody, count, deliberate. Count 20 things and say, I don't want a blanket, thank you, Jesus. I mean, count 20 things that you are grateful for. If you are mature enough, you will even add some bad, what looks bad to it. But generally, I said, count 20 things. Be deliberate about it. Count. I mean, things as simple as this prayer meeting you're having now. You're having it, you know, in peace with the family. Your father is there. Your mother is there. Your siblings are there. Count that one. That's one. The bed you got up from to come and pray in the morning, count it. Did not eat last night? You did. Count it. Is breakfast wasting this morning? Count it. I told them 20 things. I gave everybody like 2, 3 minutes. And I made sure I counted my own. At 20. When you finish 20, they will continue praying. Because you just assume everything is normal. Some of you, before you can go out in the morning, one major problem is to decide on what to wear. Like Apostle came with it. He would there, they check. No, now black I wear yesterday. Tomorrow is supposed to be blue. Now purple. The women are the ones that won't make me laugh. So I don't have shoe. So why? None of the shoes I have go with. I like men. It's black and brown. That's it. Leave it. Everything fits. Men, women. It's a gift. Women will match. That we went somewhere. My wife said, oh, I forgot my earrings in the house. I said, okay. So we went at the place. Ah, there were earrings. I said, I thought you said you forgot your earrings. I said, no, I had this one inside a bag. I said, okay. I said, but what the necklace you were wearing just now? I said, I removed it. Why? I said, it's supposed to match. I said, okay, she said, we can go. Yeah, let's be going. Because it's a gift. You have matching earring with pendant. It's because you have peace. It's because you have peace. It's because you have peace. Women can match. It's peace. It's peace. See, it's the peace of God. So if you matched anything today, somebody, you and your husband will decide what two of you wear. Two of you will now wear the same thing. It's peace. You see? It's when you have eaten and you are full. See, I'm not kidding about it. We're laughing. But please, thank God. Just thank God. You go to your shoe rack, you look left, right, look left, right. Before you pick one, say, Father, I thank you. Say, Father, I thank you. So, Pastor, I don't even have shoes. You look at your feet and say, Father, I thank you. Because none of these things we are talking about is a game of chance. Not one. It's a gift. If you have health, it's not a game of chance. It's a gift of God. You have food to eat. So you should be full of thanksgiving. And please, practice it too, because sometimes you get so used to it. That's why they do that song that says, count your many blessings. Name them one by one. You know what they said next? It will surprise you what the Lord has done. It will surprise you. That's why I said, bless the Lord, O my soul. Don't forget any of his benefits. You know why? Because we easily forget. We easily forget. One day I played that game with my children in the house. So all of you, think about five things you would like to have that you don't have now. So they quickly thought about some things. And I said, okay, now start counting the things you have. And I started prompting them. That's when they realized that there were many more things that they had than the ones they did not have. Except that the ones you have, you tend to what? Forget. You tend to forget. People of God, please, don't forget that thing. Everything is a gift. So, learn to ask God for gifts. One of the disciplines, that's what we're talking about today. We'll get there. Okay, let me continue talking. We're already on it anyway. One of these disciplines you must learn as a Christian is to give God glory for everything. Sometimes it seems as if I preach the judgmental side of God a lot. I know I do, more than most preachers. And there's a reason for it. Because that's part of God's glory. That is part of God's glory. That he judges the nations is part of his glory. That he dries up the sea is part of his glory. That he withholds rain is part of his glory. That he flooded the whole earth in the time of Noah is part. Who else can do it? The devil can't do it. That's what is why it seems I preach like that, because I grew up giving God only half of his glory. Half. What's half? What do I mean by half? If there's rain, we give him glory. If there's no rain, we give the devil the glory. If there's peace, we give him the glory. If there's trouble, we give the devil the glory. Saints of God, give him glory for both of them. He said, when he gives peace, who can make trouble? You know, when he takes away peace, nobody can give it to you. And you want to know the truth? He takes away peace. There are those that gather. God said, I will scatter it. One of the things I try to do is to wipe out the worship of Satan, the worship of the devil, giving him the glory for things that God did. You will hear that there was famine in the land. We will say, it's the devil. God said, no, my glory I will give to no other. Who shut up? He said it. He said, if I shut the heavens, what does that tell you? He shuts the heavens. What does it mean? That there's no rain. That is why it seems sometimes as if I'm preaching the judgment side of God. But it's not because, like now we're talking about the goodness of God. Last Thursday we were talking about it. To let people know, hey, brethren, listen, don't take the glory of God and give to another. Who drowned all the soldiers of Egypt in the Red Sea? Answer me.
God.
It was the God of Israel, the God of Moses, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He does such things. You know what I'm talking about it? There's a tendency amongst human beings, and Christians tend to fall for it, to underestimate the power of God. So many times God is doing something. They give the glory to another. For example, they give the glory for problems to bad leaders. They just decide that, no, it is because the leaders are not good enough. I keep on emphasizing, don't ever forget. It is possible for you to gather and God scatters it. It's possible for federal government to bring money and they put it into pockets with what? With holes, yes. And you know, this is ours from scripture. There's nothing I've told you now, that's not the scripture I'm quoting. I hope you're getting my point. It's very important as Christians that we don't join in giving the glory of God to other gods. It's very important. And I keep on saying, the danger in that is that we don't know where our deliverance lies. Let me tell the story I told some days ago here. Let me tell the story again. There was a time the people of Israel went to battle and they lost the battle. A woman sat down there on social media and he was analyzing what was wrong with the strategies of Joshua. That the problem with Joshua is that he did not, the days of Moses, we know how we used to fight. And I don't understand for Joshua. Joshua was a general under Moses. Now, they put him in charge, just misbehaving. How could you have gone to a city with a few men? What's wrong with you? You were supposed to overwhelm the city. Why? Because they went to a city to fight. And they went with just about 3,000 men. Because they thought the city was not a powerful one. And then something went wrong. They had to run for their lives. And the battle went strongly against them. And a few dozens of them were killed, which was unusual for them. So this man sat down there and was analyzing. The leadership of Joshua should be questioned. He has passed his prime. Who did they ask to command that battle? Who's that one? Zephaniah. It's because Zephaniah is his mother's cousin. Look at what nepotism has done to this army. And this was a man called Achan talking. The man I'm telling you, his name is Achan. He's there talking. But Joshua was not like him. Joshua went and fell before the Lord and said, Lord, why did you give us up? Because how can one chase 1,000 or two chase 10,000? Except their rock sold them. And then God now said, see that guy on social media? Say, yes. What is his name? Achan. He's the one. I'm summarizing. You know the story. What did he do? He said he was part of the team that went to Jericho. And I told them everything in Jericho should be condemned. Yet he took some things and hid. Now, this same Achan that was there on social media, telling you why Bola Tinubu cannot do anything right, is the very reason why they lost the battle at Ai. And after they removed him and punished him for the evil that he did to the land, they returned to Ai and won their battle, even though they used a different strategy. But that strategy was mostly to encourage the people. The real reason they lost in the first instance was because of Achan. The reason why they won the second time was because Achan had been judged and the iniquity had been removed from the midst of them. Yesterday was in the news that Delta State government went to their Delta State Teaching Hospital and found 120people who are Japad. This is where I pronounce my Japad. Japan, who were still on the payroll. So one of my colleagues, he's a chief medical director of a federal teaching hospital. So he misread that thing. He said 120 in the whole state. He said that is small. I had to correct that. I said no, it's one hospital. He said because in his own hospital, he did an audit and had to fire 48 people who had traveled were still collecting salaries. If I just joked to you, I said, boy, open your eye when you are reading something. They didn't say in the whole state. They said in only the Delta State University Teaching Hospital, the one in Ogara. Yes. 120 persons who had gone abroad, who still retained, and they were still collecting salaries on a monthly basis. These same people will not leave social media, but they will be there telling you how useless the government is. It can. They're all over the place. They are the reason why God broke the staff of bread. But they are there analyzing which government is good, which one is bad. Joshua said, I can't do anything right with people like you following me to Ai. With people like you in the camp, it's when I get all of you and bury you that I will have progress. But God said, Banky, don't worry about them. They are not the salt. So let's look at the salt, which is the church of God. Hey, if you're a Christian, you're doing that nonsense. God will echo you. Because notice on that thing, when we don't want to preach, we want to scare people, we want church to grow. Say, God doesn't do it, then he will. If you're amongst those who did, they better go and refund the money. Wickedness. Federal government is giving scholarships, giving grants, everything to develop the country. You collect, you use it to travel. And you think they manufacture this money from somewhere? They don't. Please, if you're planning to leave your company, they are sending people for training, don't go. They say, but you're a very good person, you should go for this training, no? Say, sir, can I see you later? Why? Sir, really, I appreciate it. I really would like the training. But I didn't plan to tell you this now, but because this matter came up, I'm planning to live here over the next 6 months. And I know how much money you will invest. That's why I'm declining, sir. I don't think you'll recoup your investment in me over the next, we'll do training for 1 month. And then 5 months, you won't gain anything. I know how much it's going to cost you, sir. That is why I'm making this excuse. I was not planning to tell you now. I was planning to tell you maybe 3 months from the time I'll leave. But since this has come up now, let me say it. That is how Christians behave. Don't be a thief. You know they call you Yoshi? Don't be one. Be a man, a woman of integrity. They are sharing rice for staff, and you know you plan to run away. Don't eat diarrhea. Just mistakenly forget to collect your own. And then resign. Sometimes when I see the people behave, I just say, you know, I was saying something on Saturday. I'm teaching about the character of God now. I tell you the goodness of God. Because every part of him is good. One of the things that I learned is that he's alive and is a fair, just judge. He's a very fair and just judge. I remember that time when my wife just had Akin. She was working for UBA at that time. And after maternity leave, our plan was that, look, once this boy is born, you can't be working money till night like this. So, but you know, for certain reasons, I saw the amount of leave they had given her. She had done the mandatory, is it 3 years? You know, she had done it. When I saw the amount of leave they had given her, I said, okay, I don't think it would be fair to leave now. Please work for them for another 1 year. You know, my conscience was smoting me, smiting me. What is the correct English now? It was smiting me. I said, no, just work for some time more. Because she settled down, managed for some months before she finally resigned. I said, it's just a conscience thing. The law may be on my side, but me, I said, it's a private company now. I pay, come on. That I did responsible for this pregnancy. No, now. This boy that is not their own. I said, no, please. Just go back. Work for this. Let's just justify the leave, yes. Try. A lot of people don't care. Leave it, even if it is government, please. Treat them nicely. It's not because of them, it's because you are relating with God. Many of the acorns in our society, they are there criticizing government. Because they didn't want to see. I don't know how many of you read one article Ruben Abati wrote when Goodluck Jonathan's this thing, government ended. You know he was in that government, he was a spokesman. And he was talking about that, please pray for those in power. When I read it, I still read it again recently. Somebody forwarded it around, you know, just to bring some things up again. And I said, somebody said, hey, you don't need to be superstitious. You don't need to be. You shouldn't be. I said, before Ruben Abati wrote what he wrote, we had said it before. Just like Tor Reverend was leading prayer a short while ago. Ruben Abati said, you can, sometimes you are amazed at how these men make decisions. That you analyze, you will say everything. This is what they want to do. They don't seem to be able to do it. They just do the opposite. He said you can almost feel it in the air. The spiritual forces in the place. He said they gave him a house. He refused to sleep there. He said those who slept there, they were falling sick. They were dying. He said accounting. He said that even first lady was always falling sick. And going for surgery. He said as soon as the tenure ended, she was well. He counted some people who, as soon as they left that seat of government, their sickness vanished. So that's why they used to go to hospital and come back. It's either their child will die, or their son will die, or their wife will die, or the husband will die. He said, see. He said, they fight. He said, so they gave him a house. He refused to go there. He said, no, thank you very much. I'm not sleeping in this place. All these demons. No, I still have the article somewhere. If you didn't read it that time, it's still available. It was just being superstitious. No, they not started trying to explain. That is a result of stress. Stress will kill your wife and your piki. How nonsense. The guy said the thing was that it was tangible. So people who don't believe in spiritual things, we just keep quiet. Let's not argue with them. We don't have time to talk. But what I want to emphasize is that he now said, please pray for the people that are there, that they are not in control. So that's why the kind of prayers that we prayed earlier, I said it's so appropriate. He said he will see men try to do what is right. Something just would not agree for them to do it. People think it's just ordinary determination. It's not determination. It's not determination. You just have to determine. No, you don't determine. You do your best, but if the Spirit is not cooperating with you, you will not succeed. That is why, please pray for the government. Pray. I like the way he said it. Hey, they have done everything they are supposed to do now. Everybody said, this, the economic policies are correct. Oh, yeah. God said, only in the Lord are what? Righteousness and strength. You must learn it. Now, why am I talking about this? Christians, when you are talking, eh? Talk right. What did I say? Talk right. Talk right. What do I mean by talk right? Don't talk like the unbelievers. Drop the name of God in the middle of everything. I was talking to somebody today, yesterday. I won't tell you who. A relative. Said, Bola Tinubu is an undertaker. I said, why? He said, because he said he will continue where Buhari ended. And Buhari was a murderer. I was laughing. He was on the phone. You know what I did? I laughed. I said, we'll overcome all of them by the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I just shook her inside small. Do you get my point?
Yeah.
He said, Buhari killed this country, but that is not burying it. I said, it will wake up by the power of Jesus Christ. He said, amen. I said, yes, amen. They go talk around that way. They don't mean good for this country. I said, the good that God means for us, we still manifest whichever way. Christians, I'm teaching you how to talk. Because you see, now, I've not gotten to the main message now. Now I'm inside the message. See, our tongue is powerful. What did I say? Our tongue is powerful. It is the way by which you release spiritual power into the air. It's the way by which you release spiritual power into the air. There's something I've said to us here before. Please bear it in mind. And that's the fact that, see, for almost 30 years, which are when? 2024. 1990 to 2024 is how many years? Is that 34 years? 34 years, right? Yes. For over 34 years, I don't think I've spoken a negative word against any head of state or any government in Nigeria. I'm certain about that. I learned the truth around 1989. And as I started practicing this, I remember before 1990. Okay, let's just say 1990. So for over 34 years, I have not spoken a negative word, a critical word, against any head of state or government in this country. If I ever did, maybe once or twice, I got carried away in laughter, in joking, and I repented. I can't remember doing it, but it's a principle I've operated. When I want to start abusing the government, I keep quiet. Because many times I talk to people who don't understand, all right? They call me all kinds of names. My classmates call me the APC bishop. Why? Because President Buhari was in power for 8 years as an APC man. And many times I stood to defend his government. Not because I believed in everything. Now listen to this. Not because I believe in every policy or every decision he made. No. But simply because I understood that life is a spiritual battle. So I'm careful who I give my weapons to. I'm careful who uses my sword of the Spirit. I'm careful who I energize. I will not be practicing positive confession in my life. I'm practicing practical confession in the life of the country. I don't know whether I get my point. Remember, I say practical confession. Let's say the way it is. Why don't I say my life the way it is? Why don't they say my children the way it is? Do you know children? They are the most foolish of creatures. Did you hear that? Annoying creatures. But do you know what? You will still speak good words about them. I like to hear my wife used to correct the children when they were young. It used to be a query. Is that Jesus boy behavior? Some people say, you're a very foolish boy. Not in my house. It's like, is this Jesus boy behavior? She actually, those when they were small, she actually make you stand and salute. Are you in the Lord's army? You will say, yes, sir. Are you in the Lord's army? You will say, yes, sir. So is that Jesus boy behavior? When they have done foolishness, the kind of foolishness that makes you want to hang them upside down and forget them there. Every morning till now, every single morning till now, they still come and collect blessings. You will be great. The Lord will help you. The Lord will favor you. The Lord will anoint you afresh. I will never tell this boy you're not going anywhere. There's some people who openly and say, this country is not going anywhere. Why will I be prophesying positively about my life, about my family, about my ministry? When it comes to my country, I prophesy negatively. Why? Is it because everything goes right here? That's ministry. Or in my personal life? No. It's a discipline of the spirit that I taught my tongue. And the Bible says, if your tongue is speaking good about your life, you shouldn't be speaking evil about your nation. Is it not the same mouth? It's discipline. That's the point I'm making. When we're talking about being the salt of the earth, it's one area where we have to discipline ourselves. You have to learn the salty way to react to everything. So there's somebody, you know the way people talk about Nigeria? I'm just talking, elderly person. Say, this country, but that's the ones who bury it. I laughed. I said, the resurrection power of Jesus would not agree. I said, the power of Jesus will raise the country up again. Yeah, we just drop it and then we'll continue laughing. These people are very, very foolish. I don't know what they are doing. Whatever they are doing will work for good. It's a positive, that is, it's salt. It's called salt. See, every time you're talking, I need to say this again. We're talking about people in government, in power. They don't have the, you know, it is not within them to direct their ways. Are you getting my point? Now, in fact, let me give an example. It's in the Bible like that. Rehoboam. Do you think Rehoboam could have done anything right? You know Rehoboam. After Solomon died, so Rehoboam took over power. But before that time, the prophet Ahijah had gone to Jeroboam because God said so, that I'm dividing the country. All right? Now, you know, what led to the division? They went to Rehoboam and said, oh yeah, Rehoboam, lighten our load. Rehoboam went to the old men, the old counselors. He said, what do I do? He said, listen to them. Reduce the taxes. They love you. They love your family. Just that things are, you know, kind of rough. Just talk to them nicely. Where are the younger people? The younger people said, now, so this nice, nice thing, person they take losing power. If you are nice now, when you give order tomorrow, they will not listen. So you have to let them know that you are hard. Let them know you are tougher than your father. This is how to retain the kingdom. So when I said, I heard what people said, how much was my father charging for VAT? Say, VAT under your father was 18%. Say, it's now 36. How many years was NYSE? They say it was 1 year. Say, it's now 5 years. At what age could they write WAEC before? And GC, say it was 16. Say, it's now 35. If you are not 35, correct. What's the age of admission in university? Say, it was 16. It's now, okay, you have to be 28. Say, import duty, cars, clearing cars, 280%. I have to show people I'm tough. You know what happened? The people say, hey, wait, come, come, come. That you are king is because we want a king. If we don't want a king, forget that, you know. Say, to your tents, O Israel, let David, let their houses, let them hold their house. The people of Judah said, now our brother. It's even lucky the Judah people recognize that he's their brother. Otherwise, if we reject, the guy would have been the king over a palace in Syria. Because I kicked him out of that Jerusalem. But you know the story. Where I'm going with the whole story is that, do you think we'll have done otherwise? No. At that point in time, the answer was no. Why? God had decreed it. God gave him over to foolishness. Tell you. God can give. Look, Junior is there today. We're talking and we're laughing. Can I tell some of those stories? He said, there's a particular, okay, you know Nigeria Brewery. Nigeria Brewery. It's a big company, international company. They have some very strict, you know, they are not like some of us, like Africans, the way we do. They have strict rules. I've been to companies like that. A lot of these international, they're like that. You come to their premises, they say this is a factory, what do they call it now? Industrial complex, something like that. That driving is 20 kilometers an hour, top speed. They now say that, you know, those people, they give their staff free drink. My brother did his IT there at that time, and my neighbor was working there. My wife and we used to get free drink all the time. We used to get, you know, they had malt, and this particular, you know, I think it was a crush. Thank you, crush. Every month, they would bring it home. So the guy said, we have to finish drinking it, because he must take his empty bottles back. You see, or just they drink more, they drink. My brother, being a junior guy, Maybe he got a crate. That guy will get 2 crates, you know. And we all live in the same building. My brother was living in my house. That guy was living downstairs. And he was single. They have family. Ah, man, we just did drink, they go. And that's because we didn't want beer. They were giving beer too. So they now said that. So he said, but there's one thing apart from this that they give you. You are not allowed to take any company product out. Yeah, somebody will come there. Collect company product, pour inside the can. And this is a well-paid, high-ranking person. The one they are giving is not enough. You go open the bottles, pour them inside a keg. And they say, what is that? They say, it's water. One day someone said, let me see this water you always carry. It was their beer. So they fired him. So Judas said, nah, village. No, not before, village people. He said, nah, village people. That they must have entered his head to go and steal beer. Beer that they are giving you 2 crates free every month. They say you can't drink at work. Some people will pour it into this, my drinking cup, and put it on their table. Say, now coffee. Then one day an inspector will come. Check the coffee. It's beer. And sack. No, it's summary dismissal. Summary dismissal. We talked about, me here and I were just earlier today. We talked about other stories. I know another company where people behave like that. You know, you know, some of these oil companies. They say, okay, you can't drink and drive on our premises. You see big men earning millions every month. Go, sit down, drink, and drive into the premises. So we just conclude that it's village issues, that these are not, no, it's not ordinary. They didn't say you can't drink. Oh. They just say you can't drink and drive within our premises for 2 reasons. It's an industrial complex, and there are children living in the staff area. It's for everybody's safety. Yet, people will go out, drink, and drive there, and be driving anyhow. And they will not fire them. So we realize that. We just have to analyze and say, this is not village trouble. This cannot be normal. If you didn't believe in the devil, now you do. Because how else will you explain this lack of self-control? How else? What am I talking about? Things control people. When Judas was going to betray Jesus Christ, did he use ordinary eye to do it? He leaned to the motivational speaker. I shall betray. Betrayer is my portion. Oh yeah, betray. No, what happened? Satan entered him. People of God, it's a spiritual battle we are fighting. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. So when you see people misbehaving, it is a spiritual battle. Now, this is where I'm going with all of this. So, this is what I understand. Rehoboam, we found out that he cannot do right. For things we have explained it. It's just not within him to do what is right. So if Rehoboam is now going to do right, somebody has to help him. I'll be getting my point. And I don't mean with advice. You can't take sound advice. When Absalom was going to fail in his rebellion, David used a word of prayer to counsel the counsel of Ahithophel. So if he felt that what they needed was good counselors, they had the best counselor on the earth at that time. So good was Ahithophel. The general gist is that, if don't bother asking God, ask Ahithophel. If you have confusion, he said, go and ask Ahithophel what he has to say. Once he tells you, he said, I want to go and pray. Say, don't pray now. Didn't Ahithophel talk to you? He said, there's nothing God will say that Ahithophel has not said. From experience. Yet, you know, David used a word of prayer to kill it. He said, Lord, turn the counsel of Ahithophel to foolishness. Do you know, when Ahithophel spoke, Absalom thought it was foolish. Ahithophel gave sound counsel. Absalom heard it. Hushai spoke. Absalom said, no, Ahithophel, what you have said is not good. Ahithophel was at a loss. Did you hear what I said? Absalom said, I heard it, but it doesn't sound nice. So convinced was Ahithophel about the soundness of his counsel. He knew the rebellion had failed. Instead of David coming back to hang him, he hung himself. It was not a 50-50 chance. He knew for certain that this rebellion was over. He went home, put his house in order, and he hung himself. So you guys be there playing. Like we say, they play. David is coming back. And of course, you know it was right. So what gives the impression? Bola Tinubu can do what is right without your prayer. What gives the impression? Peter Mbah can do what is right without your prayer. What gives the impression? The people that's ruling these days can do what is right without your prayer. I was talking about me never speaking against them. It's a battle. It's war. So I choose where to use my tongue. I choose who to support. After all those of you are talking that want me to join you, you are not the one in power. Your words will not change. You don't make rules. You don't make commandments. There's nothing you do. You don't make laws. Nothing. So I choose to use my words to support the person that if he says nobody's going out on Saturday morning, nobody goes out. The man who will get up and say, cars are not passing here again. And cars can't pass there. People think that, can't you see what is going on? I can see it. But I'm not saying that. I'm saying what I want to see. There's a law in the spirit. You call those things that be not as though they were. That is how God creates. People say, you are burying your head in the sand. Okay, you buried your own in the cloud. What have we now seen now? I have people who have been criticizing government for 40 years. I say, can't you see? At least if it's blood pressure gain alone, I've gained more than you. And you are Achan anyway. They are Achans that took from Jericho. They are Achans that are prophesying and crippling the hand of the king. Government will say, we want to do this so that this will happen. Say, can they do it? They can never do it. That's what they always say now, that they want to do something. They can never do it. These men don't mean well. Even if they meant well, once the salt says they don't mean well, that their goodwill turns to evil will. Why? That's what the salt said. God said, I'm not listening to everybody equally. I'm listening to those that count. Please go and read the book. Final Quest, Regina. So you see Christians with demons on their backs, controlling their tongue. They are the people of God. They are fighting the enemy's army. Go and read the story. Final Quest. He said, you see believers, spirits riding on them. And they are there fighting the enemy's battles. That's what I'm preaching today. The salt must be careful with what it says. But before, we have already established that it's not within your power. It's a school of prayer. We are here to pray. It's not within your power. So what you will do, you know, you lay your body on the altar. The request said, how do you sanctify yourself? He said, carry it and put it on the altar. That the altar sanctifies any gift placed there. You know, these days, all right, I'm not regretting like that, but I'm regretting small. I wish I had learned more how to pray earlier in my life. You need the scriptures to pray these days, oh, it's sweet. Some people say that they prayed. Let's go to the issue of prayer again. With them that they were there, they just pray for 4 hours. I'm like, what were you saying? I just want to know. They can't tell what they were saying. Go and check. Most people say they are praying. They can't tell you what they were saying. They can't. So every night I rise up to pray. What do you say? I want to know. Write a book on what you say. I'm trying to say it to Pentecostals. I think the Holy Spirit came upon me to start warning Pentecostals. Stop wasting time. If you want to pray, pray. I just woke up and I spoke in tongues for 1 hour. See, tomorrow, speak in your language for 1 hour. Let's balance it. Because the Bible says, I will pray with my understanding. I will pray in the Spirit. So two of them. You can't do only one and be balanced. Like, there's nothing superior to the Word of God. Now, what I want to say is not scripture. I'm not quoting scripture. I'm talking from experience and using spiritual understanding to decode it. A lot of Christians today are just too lazy to study. So they hide behind their speaking in tongues. They're hiding. Some of them is nothing but clanging cymbals. Yes, true. I look now. You know why? Because we're talking about the tongue now, right? We're talking about keeping the salt pure. I found out that David taught us how to pray this prayer. Because he understood that this tongue, you know, the tongue can speak by itself. Yeah, that's what the Bible said. Yeah, to just get up and start talking. When you finish hearing what the tongue said, you just say, who said that? He says, you say it's not me. I agree, it's not you, it's your tongue. By the time you finish washing somebody down, when they now say, read what you said, he says, it's not me. Yeah, you are right, it's not you. It's just your tongue. That's what the Bible says. It's difficult to tame. There's a man when he's talking, I tell my wife, see, what he's saying, it's a friend of mine. I say, he doesn't believe it. He gets carried away when he's in the midst of people. So let me tell you, if you're a preacher, just hear this well. Before you come here to preach, pray. Pray that, Lord, let me not say that which you did not say. Because when you stand in front of people, you start saying things. Holy Spirit, that's not how I inspire you. Holy Spirit, the message never says, wait, Holy Spirit, I'm coming. Be writing your own down. You start preaching your own. No, I've seen it happen to preachers again and again. I feel sorry for them. By the way, if you are the type that counts congregation number, every time you say, how many are we now? Your message will change. Because one day you will say something. You must eat my flesh and drink my blood. Everybody will go away. You next day you say, no flesh eating again. No. Yeah, you will change, you know. Because when Jesus Christ preached that message, everybody left. If you are the type that the number is where you get your validation from. Next time you say, today we are not eating the flesh, we are eating mango. We are eating shawarma, thank you. Chicken peri peri. They will start coming again. The next time you want to preach, say, nobody is eating flesh. This church will go down. Are you the one that will pay the bank? You know how much loan we took to do the roof? And so you mount the pulpit, the tongue will just take over and start saying his own. You cannot succeed in ministry if you don't deliberately give your tongue to God. You can't. You have to say, you know, you have to utter. Now, I was telling you, look, I've learned that in prayer now. I utter words, simple words. Lord, see, people were annoying me. Please, let me not use the pulpit to settle scores. I say it like that. Please, Lord, when I come, let the Spirit take over. I give you this tongue. I give you this mouth. Let it utter your counsel alone. No, it's a deliberate prayer you offer consciously. You know why? Nobody can tame the tongue. We have agreed on that. So anything we cannot do with God, nothing shall be impossible. All things are possible with God. So you know, God can tame the tongue. Let me say this, then we're going to read some scriptures and use it to pray. Or use them to pray. Remember, as a salt of the earth, you are going around sowing the seeds of God into the environment. You are sowing the seeds of God into the environment. You are sowing the seeds of God. You are issuing forth weapons by which angels will fight on your behalf. And Satan, listen, Satan, you know, Satan, let me tell you what Satan. Satan doesn't have the kind of power people think he has. So Satan needs you to say something that you're not supposed to say, so you have weapons against you. He's a tempter. What did I call him? A tempter. So say, this boy, we have to destroy his destiny. So what do we do? He's a small boy now. Yeah, tempt his father. The father has to say something. This boy, you'll never do well. So how would they say it? Make him make mistakes a number of times. He's a little boy. The temptation is not the boy. The temptation is on who? The father. The father and the mother will now sit down and say, I don't know where I got this boy from. Now, wow. I don't understand. This boy can never do it the way he's going. Satan says, can you say it again? As he's saying it, you know what he's doing? He's writing it down. With date. Voice note. He now goes to the judgment seat of God. Say, Lord, his father said he can't do well. And his mother agreed. If two of them shall agree as touching anything. Did you not say, as I heard you say in my hearing, so I will do to you, do to this family. The boy will just wake up one morning. Indian hemp will just be hungry. Same time I hear people, as I smell Indian hemp, it makes me feel, it smells like good vegetable, like incense. And he has never smoked before. And the first day, of course, not giving one friend, they will give him one. As he drags like this, he enters into his brain, he's hooked. And the father will not say, did I not tell you? I told you he will never do well. Then the guy will double his dose. Then the mother say, hey, your father has been saying it, I did not believe him. Now I believe him. The boy will triple the dose. Then one day somebody will give him nkurumiri, add it to it. And then they finally give him cocaine. It's gone. Car is father's car, sell it. Then one day somebody will knock in the gate, tell them to pack out. The boy don't sell in papa house. Satan tempted them until they spoke. Why did not enter the promised land? They said, we are not able. That's all. They just said, we can't. And God said, as you have said in my hearing, See, Satan is a tempter. If you're a parent, you will lay your tongue down today and say, concerning my children, I will never say anything negative. If you're a husband, see that girl where you marry. The way Satan works on your children, he works on her too. Trying to get you to seal some nonsense. So just, when your wife finishes, you just do like I do, just go to one corner. I just love my wife as far as I love the church. Just say, see, I've realized you don't, let me tell you something about the word of God, why God gave it to us. As words. You don't have to feel like it. Just say it like that. I hope I get my point. Don't tell your wife, one day I'm going to kill you in this house. There are things you don't say. Just say, okay. It's my lot in life. I must love you as Christ loved the church. It's clear you're angry. But you know what? You have not said anything wrong. When you tell your wife, it's my lot in life, even though you're unhappy to say it. I just have to love you the way Christ loved the church. You know, everything you have said now, even though you're the vex, if God confirms it, it's good. See, this tongue, we have to bridle it. And the only way you can do it is with what? Prayer. That's another side of it. Or let me just add this one to it. It's out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So at least be filling your heart with something good. There's something I've been saying here, and I think I just feel like saying it briefly before we get into praying. All right? Psalm 1 says what? How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Now notice that. He walks, he stands, he sits. Walk is, you know, people you go into business with, company you keep and all of that. Standing, same thing. People you loiter around, take counsel from. And sit, You know, party now. Just relax, everybody. Sharing drink. It's called communion. Now, what is the opposite? His delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, please, I want you to understand something here. Verse 3 says, you will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. Please notice the verse carefully. These words are opposite precepts, concepts. So, stand, sit, walk, stand, and sit is the opposite of delight and planting. Now, I'm going to say something here. What it meant, there's a way, if you read the Bible, sometimes you use different concepts to say the same thing. The man walks in the counsel of the wicked, he stands in the path of sinners and sits in the seat of scoffers. The opposite, directly speaking, is not the delight. The delight manifested where? For the wicked man, the delight manifested in where he walks, stands, and sits. Now, they are not telling us about the delight. However, this man too does the opposite of that. Verse 3, he said, we'll be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. What do I mean? Listen to this. He didn't say it'll be a tree planted in water. Where's he planted? By. So basically, he's planted in what? Water-rich soil. Soil, it is a type of presence. It's a type of people. So one sits among sinners, scoffers, and wicked. This one sits amongst righteous, neat-talking, righteous, and what are the words? Sinners and godly. Thank you. Thank you for that. It sits amongst the godly, the disciplined people, and the righteous people. That is where he sits, walks, and stands. Now, what is significant about them? You see, he said, is earth that's rich in water. You hang around people that's rich in the word of God. Do you follow my point? See, the opposite of sitting with the wicked, standing with the scoffers and all of that, is to hang around with people who are godly, who speak the word of God, and who are righteous. So when you are planted, it's not planted in the word itself. No, it's planted. Of course, it's the word as the issue. Do you get my point? But where does the word come to you from? Where you sit, where you walk, and where you stand. Who are those who are counseling you? Do you get my point? Who are those you share your troubles with? When you are bored and have nothing to do, who do you spend time with? They are the ones that decide what is actually filling your heart. Have you seen the way all of us use four-letter expletives without thinking about it? All the curse words. Where do we get them from? Television. Where else? It's television. Just watch two American movies. You've learned all the bad words in this life. Do you know what? Are you aware of how difficult it is to let those things go? Because like we're told, whatever entertains you, enters you. It has entered you. It's entertaining you by entering you. It's entertaining you, but it's entering you. So by the time you are 5 years old, 10 years old, there's no bad word you haven't learned. It's the Americans that taught you. They're the ones. You watch their movies. You have to go and deliberately form your own. Do you know? Jesus is Lord was, in quote, a curse word I invented myself. People use it a lot, but I didn't learn it from anybody. Oh, in school, I said, what comes out of your mouth is, you know, this, all those, I said, wait, how do I swear now? Because swearing, I shall swear. So I turned my own swear to, Jesus is Lord. God is on the throne. What? Jesus is Lord. It became a swear word for me. In quote, you know, are you getting my point? So that's how I express my frustration. Look at the way this guy is driving. Jesus is Lord. My God in heaven. He's on the throne. Just you create words. Now vex with the vex, but go vex with righteousness. Do you get my point? Now what I'm trying to say, you just pick mannerisms. No, one day, I saw my son that actually was small that time. He said, Jesus is Lord. I said, it's good. I said, yes. Blessed is the man who sits around his father that shouting, Jesus is the Lord. Do you get my point? Now listen, if you are going to say what is right, you have to habitually fill your heart with what is right. I hope you're getting my point. If you are going to say what is right, you have to do what? Habitually fill your heart with what is right. But let's do this other one. Can you control your tongue by yourself? The answer is what? No. So how do you control your tongue? It's through prayer. Everything is prayer. Everything is prayer. Everything is prayer. There's nothing else. Look, listen. Everything is prayer. Open your Bibles quickly. Let's read. Psalm 141. Please let me just say this before we read it again. Just as kind of summarizing what you have said, especially concerning national issues. Give God the glory. What did I say? Say it again.
Give God the glory.
Say it so I can hear you.
Give God the glory.
Yes, give him the glory. Give him the glory. They give him the glory every way. It may not sound good, but give him the glory. If good things happen, give him the glory. When you give him the glory all the time, you know how to ask for favors from him. There's crisis in the land right now, especially in the fourth sector. Don't give any. But the problem is NNPC. They need to overhaul that place. They need to sack everybody. When they sack everybody, four will become 2,000 naira a liter. The problem is not NNPC. It's that God has broken the staff of fuel. Do you follow my point? Yeah, just say it like that. When Joshua finally won the battle of Ai, he went with 30-something thousand soldiers. It looked as if he changed his strategy. He really didn't. The real change was his spiritual change. So when God wants to bless, you can see some things happen physically. Don't assume that's the source. I hope you're getting my point. You see banditry, all the troubles, very terrible in some states like Borno and Zamfara, and the second one, Zamfara, which one? Near Zamfara there, it is really terrible. But there are so many states in the north where banditry is an issue. Boko Haram attacked the other day. At the end of the day, pray to God. I was reading the book of Judges. At the end, I said, human beings are still the same. We need to just pray to God for favor. If God grants peace, those men will pick their guns and run into the wilderness and die there. They won't even know what pursued them. They will hear a rumor. Maybe they'll just hear that Nigerian Air Force came with 1,000 fighter jets and pursued, and it's just cricket too. They will hear it as aircrafts, and they will run into the wilderness, or they will die. They all die there. If God decides it's a time for peace, are you getting my point? Let's remember. No, I've been reading my Bible, and I told myself everything that's in the scriptures is just showing around me in this nation. When the people offended God, the way he raised up enemies against them, I see it all the time. But those men learned some things. The book of Judges, read the first chapter, the whole summary is in the first chapter. It's always they forgot God, they worshipped the idols, and God raised up this against them, and then they repented. Then when they repented, usually is a judge is raised at the time they are repenting, and then that judge now goes, delivers them from their enemies. Then one generation will pass, it starts again. They will forget, go after the Baals and the other false gods. Then God will raise their enemies against them. The Ammonites will now oppress them for 50 years, for 60 years. Then they will cry to the Lord. And they will raise a judge who always insists they put out their idols. And once they have removed their idols, God will give them deliverance. And that generation will be at peace until the last of them will die. Then their children will forget. Then the cycle starts again. The whole of the book of Judges summarized in the first chapter. They are now telling you different stories. When the judge was Samson or... There are many of them. Ehud, yes. Ehud, you hear of... I mentioned Samson, Gideon, Deborah, and all of that. All those stories are the same thing. People repenting, crying to God, the judge leading them, and then God raising the deliverer, and then they have peace for that generation, and next generation, we forget. It's exactly what you are seeing around you. When you are shouting, hey, what is the president doing for us? That is Israel asking for a king. At the point in time, that was why God was angry with them. They felt, the problem is a king. Because the Bible said at that time there was no king in Israel, and everybody did what was good in his sight. What they do not know, that the job of the king was not to defend them against the enemies, but was to ensure that they did what was right in the sight of the Lord. So when they came to look for the king, they found a king that would deliver them from the Ammonites. And that was what happened. Saul delivered them, but he now went into bondage. And they went into bondage until the Assyrians took away the northern kingdom and Babylonians took away the southern kingdom later. Let's learn to interpret things spiritually. I hope you get my point. Let's learn to interpret things spiritually. The problem of our nation, let's talk like those who believe, is spiritual. And that's why when we are praying, you have to always pray for revival in the land. You have to always pray for revival in the land, starting from the church. Never forget that. I said you should open somewhere, right? Where did I say? Psalm 141. Now we are praying, all right? Psalm 141. We are going to read 5 verses. Yeah, we are reading 5 verses. Are you there? Which version do we read? 5 verses. Okay, let's New American Standard. I want everybody to read, all right? Are you there? Say amen if you are there.
Amen.
Now let's read together. 1, 2, let's go. O Lord, I call upon you. Listen to me. Give ear to my voice when I call to you. May my prayer be counted as incense before you, the lifting up of my hands as the evening offering. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not incline my heart to any evil thing, to practice deeds of wickedness with men who do iniquity, and do not let me eat of their delicacies. Let the righteous smite me in kindness and reprove me. It is oil upon the head. Do not let my head refuse it. For still my prayer is against their wicked deeds. All right, the Lord is good. Now read verse 3 again. Read it loud, please. Verse 3.
Set a guard,
O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Read it again. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. One more time. New Living Translation says, take control of what I say, O Lord, and guard my lips. Can you take it by a minute and pray that prayer for yourself? I've spoken about it. Pray for yourself. You can read the whole 5 verses, but focus on verse 3. O Lord, I call to you. Come and help me. Give ear to my voice when I call to you. Let my prayer be counted as incense, acceptable before you. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Set a guard. Remember, lying lips, they are an abomination to the Lord. Set a guard over my tongue, O Lord. That I've said what is not true before I even know I'm saying something. You need to pray. And those of us who preach, we have to pray, Lord, let me not speak a word that you did not inspire. Let me not speak a word that is not in agreement with the truth that you have taught. Let me not speak a word that does not express the truth of the scriptures. Let me not speak for my own gain. Let me not build like, you know, Jeroboam did, idols for the people of God. Let me, Lord, not build idols for the people of God. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Very important prayer. We need to pray it. How do you set your tongue right? Lay it on the altar. Say to the Lord, I put my tongue today on the altar. I dedicate my tongue, my lips to you. I want you to pray that prayer, you know, with passion to the Lord. I put my mouth and my lips on the altar. That from today, only that which is pleasing in your sight or in your ears will come from my mouth. Let my words be seasoned with salt. It's an important prayer. Say, Lord, let my words be seasoned with salt, so that it will give grace to those who hear it. Because the mouth of the righteous man is a well of life. Say that my mouth, let it be a well of life. Let me grow in righteousness, so that like Christ Jesus, I will speak only words of hope and words of encouragement. Lord, let me not speak in anger. Please pray that prayer for yourself. Let anger not control my tongue. Say, Lord, let me not speak in anger. So that I'll be wishing I could take my words back. Please pray that prayer for yourself. Lord, let me not speak in anger. Let me not speak against the scriptures. Let me not speak against the word of God. Say, Lord, let me not speak in anger. It's very important. Let me have a soft answer that turns away wrath. I'm quoting from Proverbs 15. It said, a soft answer turns away wrath. Yes. But grievous words stir up anger. Say, Lord, nurture my self-control. Let my heart respond only with patience and grace. Even the times of arguments. Very important words. That, see, like I said, these are things we used to. This is what prayer is. In scriptures, you see what Jesus said you are to be as a new man in him. You see what he says you are to be. You take those words to him in prayer and say, Lord, let this express as you have planted it in my spirit. Because without Jesus coming into your heart, this can never express. Say, Lord, but now Jesus is in my heart. Lord, let me open my mouth with wisdom. And let the teaching of kindness be on my tongue. These are prayers we pray. This is what Christians pray. No, that's what you pray concerning. Let my salt remain pure. Let my words express the saltness of my spirit. Let my words express that salt. That's Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. Let my words not be defiled. Lord, I know that lying lips are an abomination to you. Say, these lips, they will never lie. In the name of Jesus. They will not lie. They will speak the truth only. These lips will speak the truth only. Remember, with our tongues, we release seeds into the earth. We release the sword of the Spirit. We give the angels something to use to do warfare on our behalf. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. Now, can you open our Bibles quickly to Psalm 19? We'll read this one and we'll begin to round up for today. We read from verse 7, our prayer point is in verse 14. We're going to read from verse 7. Are you there? Okay, you're not there yet. Let me wait for you. Psalm number 19, I'm reading from verse 7, or we are reading from verse 7. We are reading all the way to verse 14. If you're ready, say amen.
Amen.
All right, we're all there. One, two, let's go. The law of the Lord is perfect. Restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is simple. Make sure why it's simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold. Yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey. And the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. who can discern his errors. Acquit me of hidden faults. Also keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, and I shall be acquitted of great transgression. Louder, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my God and my Redeemer. Read verse 14 again.
Let the words of my mouth
and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my God and my Redeemer. O Lord, my rock and my Redeemer. All right, now you know what you are going to do? Take one more minute and meditate from verse 7 to verse 14. This meditation, all right, is prayer. We are praying. And lay the emphasis in verse 14, because the word of the Lord to us this evening is, bridle your tongue. Tame your tongue. Do not speak words that are against the prayers that you are praying, against the hope that is set before you. Never let your words speak that which is not in alignment with the hope that is set before you. Use the power of the Spirit to bridle your tongue. Use the power of the Spirit to bridle your tongue. Use the power of the Spirit to bridle your tongue. Meditate from verse 7 all the way to verse 14 of Psalm 19. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Lord, let me speak only in accordance with your law, which is perfect. According to your testimony, which is sure. According to your precepts that cause the heart of man to rejoice. Let me speak only according to your commandments that enlightens the eyes. Let my words declare the fear of the Lord, which is clean, and the judgments of the Lord, which are true. By these words, your servant is warned, and in keeping them, there is great reward. Keep back your servant, Lord, from presumptuous sins. Let them not rule over me, so I will be blameless and be acquitted free of great transgression. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my God and my Redeemer. Pray to the Lord again. Say, today, Lord, I lay down my tongue. I lay down my lips on the altar. These are the things I want them to do. To speak words of grace, seasoned with salt. Prophesy over your tongue. You will speak words of grace. Over your lips, you will speak words of grace, seasoned with salt. I will not agree with people just because they are more in number. Lord, let me be like Joshua, let me be like Caleb. Standing on the truths of God, standing on the promises of God and speaking according to them. Life is a battle of words. I yield my tongue. I yield my lips as instruments of righteousness in this battle. I yield myself, my tongue, my whole being. I yield my whole being. Say, Lord, set a guard over my lips. Set a watch, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Keep my tongue from evil and my lips from speaking deceit. That's taken from Psalm 34 in verse 13. I was given a charge there, but take it and adapt it. Say, Lord, keep my tongue from evil and my lips from speaking deceit. I lay it down before you. Let my words be gracious. Let my words be gracious. Let my words be soft. Let me not provoke anger. You know, some people say that I always speak my mind. The Bible says that's what fools do. That's what fools do. There are times you restrain yourself from speaking your mind until your heart has been purified. You control your anger. Say, Lord, let me be one who controls his anger. Let my tongue, let my mouth bring forth blessing only. Let my mouth bring forth fresh water only. Let it bring forth good fruit only. out of the good treasure of the word of God in my heart, let the abundance overflow in gracious words. Lay down your mouth and your lips today. Specifically, pray for this country. How do you do it? Say, Lord, let these words be a blessing channel, a blessing fountain for my nation and for my household, for my children, for my spouse, for my friends. Yeah, you need to do that. Say, from today, I dedicate my mouth. You will bless the president alone. You bless the government alone. Only blessing for them. You bless this land. You bless this nation. You bless this governor. Let it be that at the end of the day, you'll be able to say, God, I did what I was supposed to do. And I'm not the Achan that made them lose the battle. I don't want to be the Achan that makes people, the government, lose the battle, make the nation lose the battle. No, let me not be the Achan. That if God were to do everything that I said, this nation will prosper. If we were to confirm my words, this nation will go forward. That my children will do well, they will prosper. If God were to confirm everything I said about them, that's my prayer. Now give the Lord thanks because He has heard it. Give the Lord thanks.